Inside the Great Pyramid, there are three different chambers. The largest of these is known as the King's Chamber, and is the only part of the pyramid that is made of red granite, which is extremely hard. In the 1990s, Bernard Peach analyzed the 20 different stones on the floor of the King's Chamber and made startling discoveries. Strangely, although the stones are all either square or rectangular, hardly any of them are the same size, except when you have an identical pair side by side. These stones are arranged in a series of six different rows, and each row has a different width from any of the others. In Anatomy of the King's Chamber, Peach presents staggeringly complex and compelling evidence that a variety of measurements from Mercury, Venus, Earth, the Moon, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, including their orbital periods, are encoded in the stone's dimensions. Within the King's Chamber, there is a loose stone coffin carved out of an extremely hard chocolate-brown granite, estimated to weigh 3 tons. The external volume of the sarcophagus is exactly twice the internal volume. Thanks to the patterns of circular drill marks found inside, engineer Christopher Dunn calculated that the coffin was carved out by tubular drills that could cut through granite 500 times faster than any technology we now have available. In Chapter 13, I propose this is actually the result of a technology that can dramatically soften stone. Skeptics believe this may have been done with diamond-tip drill bits in Egypt, despite the impossibility of achieving the necessary speeds involved with any modern technology. Dunn points out that the strongest metal they had at the time was copper. The diamonds would have cut through the copper like butter before they ever even put a dent in the granite. The sarcophagus has grooves for a lid to be fitted in place, but no such lid has ever been found, as if it were never intended to be found. Many pyramid researchers, including Peter Lemazurier, interpret this open tomb as symbolizing a time when there will be no more death, i.e., the coming golden age. The coffin was empty, and there is no evidence it ever held a mummy. The granite sarcophagus also cannot fit through the antechamber, meaning that it had to be built into the pyramid from the very beginning, totally in contrast with any known Egyptian burial practices. Although this was not discovered until much later, the north and south walls of both the King's Chamber and the Queen's Chamber also contained air shafts that went on an upward sloping angle, all the way out to the surface of the pyramid. This supplied just enough oxygen to refresh the atmosphere inside each room. In the mid-1990s, Rudolf Gantenbrink sent a miniature robot some 65 meters up the shafts and confirmed that in the King's Chamber, the south shaft points at the star Al-Nitak, or Zeta Orionis. The north shaft points at Alpha Draconis, which used to be the pole star in the 3rd millennium BC. The northern Queen's Chamber shaft is aimed at Beta Ursa Minoris, and the southern channel points to Sirius. All these alignments date back to about 2500 BC. That was the most recent time in which they all lined up. According to ancient civilizations researcher Joseph Jachmans, as Bouval and Gilbert showed through computer calculations, the constellational alignments imprinted in the air passages for 2450 BCE were also present earlier, in about 10,500 BCE, because of the precession of the equinoxes. An Edgar Cayce reading from June 30, 1932, said that work on the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx began this very same year. In the 13th century, an Arab historian compared the pyramid to a gigantic female breast, noting the casing stones still looked perfect on the outside, except for the original entrance carved by Caliph al-Ma'mun. Disaster struck in the year 1356 as the first of a series of earthquakes leveled significant areas of northern Egypt, collapsing entire city blocks to rubble. The pyramid was shaken so hard by these quakes that many of the casing stones broke off and tumbled into a giant mess. The people were desperate to rebuild and used this fallen limestone from the pyramid as raw material to help build the new capital city El Kahira, the victorious, as well as to rebuild Cairo. Apparently, the stones that hadn't already fallen off were then deliberately broken off, because the quality of the limestone was very pure and provided an excellent building material. According to the French Baron d'Anglure, who visited this area of Egypt in 1396, certain masons demolished the course of great casing stones which covered the pyramid and tumbled them into the valley. Two bridges were built across the Nile specifically to help drag the stones across the river via camel trains, so as to build mosques and palaces in Cairo and El Kahira. As the centuries rolled by, the legend of the once great casing stones had faded into nothing more than a superstitious myth. However, Colonel Vyse conducted excavations in and around the pyramid beginning in 1836 that permanently eliminated the skeptics' arguments. Vyse found that the pyramid was surrounded by debris of limestone chunks and sand that had piled up around the base by as much as 50 feet. He cleared a patch in the center of the north facade, hoping to reach the base and bedrock of the pyramid. There he found two of the original casing stones, forever ending the scholarly argument about whether the pyramid had ever been covered with a perfectly flat, polished white surface. The original blocks were still so finely carved that an exact measurement of the slope angle could be calculated. According to Vyse, they were perfect. In a sloping plane as correct and true almost as modern work by optical instrument makers. The joints were scarcely perceptible, not wider than the thickness of silver paper.